Hey, right after the closing jingle this week, we have a cool interview with Emilio Estevez, actor Emilio Estevez from Mighty Ducks, Young Guns 1 and 2, and many, many other great movies. So he'll be talking about his movie, The Way, and a whole bunch of other stuff, too. Maybe even Young Guns 3. Yeah, stick around. It's after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
It's the podcast.
Now with cupcakes.
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
The podcast sponsored by Pickle Jar. Pickle Jar is like that amazing, awesome, wonderful friend that always knows about great new music before everybody else. You got exclusive picks and videos. There are cupcakes in here. Plus, you can enter to win some really fantastic flyaway experiences. What?
No, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, it's... Wonder Boy over here. He takes a cupcake, smells it, and he goes, kind of like shrugs, like, it's out, and then he eats it. I was like, wow.
And then I almost choked to death.
He's like, me laugh. It was just the smell, and it was really, it was like.
And you just throw it in my mouth.
And then
you
just eat
it. Giant.
Like, I can just see you just walking around people's tables at a restaurant.
Carson, would you like a little cupcake?
I would like a cupcake.
It's on YouTube.
Don't forget, you can enter those flyaway experiences, tickets to VIP events, and more. Download for your iPhone or your Droid to picklejar.com.
Eat as much as you want.
How do you eat your cupcakes? Do you eat them like just you bite them as they
are? Well, these are little tiny.
Well, these, no, I usually, if they're real cupcakes, I take the stump and put it on top like a sandwich.
Yeah, that's what I do. So you make a sandwich, yeah.
Yeah,
same.
Yeah, you got to pull them apart.
Oh, look at you.
Okay, that looks like a golden Oreo.
And Patrick's daughter's in here. She just made one. A sandwich.
This is, what is this? Where is he? What's the point?
So Marianne sent these. I guess this is either an ACM victory cupcake or...
See you later.
See you later. Glad I'm leaving cupcake. I'm not sure.
Smell you later.
I'm trying to let Carson pick first so I can
I'll try the... Do you want red velvet?
No,
there's only
you're good.
One.
Okay. I'll come back.
Yeah, because I was eyeing this one. Little cookie dough dollop.
Angela's usually so scared of the microphone. I'm surprised she stayed in here this long while we were live. It's cupcakes.
Cupcakes are doing that, right?
What happens?
Yeah. I wish I could eat that kind of stuff. I feel so gross.
Oh, yeah, it makes you kind of...
I don't feel good at all.
Makes you kind of like that, not me.
Push that microwave on.
This?
Oh, yeah, it gets a weird thing. Yeah, so the ACM Awards last night. A lot of people are like, you guys going to go? And we're like, weird. The problem is that it's a Thursday, and for us to leave, get to Dallas, do all the events and stuff there.
We would have had to leave Tuesday, right?
Yeah, we would have had to leave Tuesday because they do a thing on Wednesday before... For the ACM,
and the
for
morning
the radio.
Flights, and so
it's just going to be too hard.
They tell the radio winners, and most of the if you're running Station of the Year or whatever, you could be anywhere in the country. So if you're coming from Pensacola to Dallas, you can get a flight with 2 weeks' notice. It's not like there's a run on flights between Pensacola and Dallas.
Yeah, big shout out to our Big Moose in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Moose.
But if you're coming from Nashville, the good flights have all been booked for a long time because everybody, the whole music industry goes
artists,
from here.
Musicians, management, labels, promotions. It's a ton of people.
The worst part was that we couldn't get a flight back today until 9 o'clock tonight.
No.
There was,
a friend of mine, her flight's at 6 tonight.
Yeah.
And she's just sitting there.
Yeah, just. Ugh.
Well, this is why they need to do the award shows, all of them, country music in Nashville, because that's where everybody lives. I mean, every one of the performers has a home in the Nashville area. Nobody would have had to arrange flights. Nobody would have had to arrange hotel accommodations. It would have been much easier. They would have had their own personal tailors to be able to, accommodate them. I know a couple of them. Our friend Stephanie, she did some tailoring for several of the stars up to it. Yeah,
good.
Nice.
And
good.
It's like
Nashville knows how to party. Like it's a destination town. You know, no, it's like when you watched the draft and it was in Kansas City or whatever. Oh, yeah, man, God bless Kansas City. Love Kansas City barbecue.
Yeah.
But it looked like it was hee-haw. It was like this. It was like, I was like, okay, here we go. And it's like, and this aerial jib shot comes down. I'm like, is this like one of these free festivals shows they do every Friday in August?
That's right. It's live after 5. We're here like I'm on the downtown levee. Kansas City.
I'm in Baton Rouge. We're doing the Friday 5 thing.
Everybody's here to see
Tommy Boudreaux. And then, like, everyone, no one knows who it is. But you got homeless guys walking around. Right. Hey. Yeah.
By the way, can you tell we did a lot of emceeing the live after 5?
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yes. It was always, I'd be like sitting backstage and a guy just walking, hey, man. I would just go, I don't have any cash. All right. It was just a thing. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But then
they were the performers.
And you see, like, you watch them do the draft, and it's like, and then you see hours where Broadway shut down and it's people as far as you can see.
It's just a party.
Oh, and it's the lights and the screens.
Certain cities are built for tourism, you know, and that's just, New Orleans, New York City, Nashville, Austin Vegas. I mean, there's a lot of places that are built for tourism and they can handle an influx of 500,000 people without batting an eye.
Yeah. I mean, think about last week, weekend, just Taylor Swift alone is 200,000 people.
Actually, I saw the number was closer to 5.5. Wow. So it was like 550,000 people extra.
He was just saying Taylor.
I'm just saying Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you had graduations. There were other concerts.
Yeah, Janet Jackson on Friday.
Bachelorette parties.
Yeah, there was so much.
When we went to Dallas, now this time it was in Frisco, but it was at the Cowboys Stadium, which is, where is AT&T Stadium? Is it in Arlington?
Yep.
There was nothing around. Like, the stadium's there. It's a great place for a football stadium because there's nothing around. And then, like, after we left the awards, it was empty. Like, you leave the award show, the CMAs are at the Bridgestone in downtown Nashville, and you leave, and you're in downtown Nashville.
You're there.
All the stuff is there. I went to Cody Johnson's after party. It was at a bar, like, three bars away.
Yeah.
I'm like, and you're in Dallas, and you're like, well, I guess we have to get a lift.
And then,
I'm not
then
really
you don't
sure.
really know where you're going.
No.
Anyway, it looked great. But I'm just saying, Bobby's right. I wish they would do it all here.
It just, sense. You know, we have a friend who does like travel booking for all these bands. And they, because of the Morgan announcement, there was so much that changed like over the course of the entire summer. They've been working like crazy to reschedule other bands who are taking Morgan's place on a lot of these festivals.
Oh.
And not only just Morgan, but Morgan's tour, you know. So they're trying to replace all this stuff. And then you have the cancellations for getting people to Dallas because Morgan wasn't going to be there. And he had another band. I forgot who it was that went and took his place and did the performance. And I'm like, that's crazy that there's so much to it. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have been a big deal at all for anybody to shift gears, you know, knowing that it could have been, you know, something local.
I think that I wonder if Cole is getting push or like hate or something because he posted something on Twitter. Someone saying, so happy for, you know, Cole Swindell winning the 2 CMAs or ACM Awards. All the haters and blood of such and such. And he responded with like, you know, no one can take this moment away from me right now. I'm so happy right now and this and that, blah, blah, blah. People just can't be, I mean, you just can't be happy. Listen, the comparison is a thief of joy. And that's exactly what, I mean, everyone, we all have our horses and you're like, I talked this morning, I was disappointed actually McBride didn't win, but I'm happy for Laney. I mean,
It wasn't like anybody lost because everybody there deserved to win. Everybody nominated could have easily made a claim for any one of those awards.
Yeah.
You know, like somebody got really mad at me because I said that Chris Stapleton didn't deserve Entertainer of the Year over Morgan. And I said, that's just my personal opinion. They got very fired up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, I'm not
what
taking anything away.
What part of opinion do you not understand?
Right. I'm not taking anything away from Chris Stapleton. Yes, he's amazing. I think that goes without saying. However, I think for Entertainer of the Year, personally, Morgan has done more for country music this past year than anybody.
I think Jason said it best. What else does he have to do?
Yeah.
I mean,
pretty much.
I mean, do what? Anyway.
But Chris Stapleton never won it before. And my favorite part was, of everyone there, he looked the most shocked.
Yeah, he did.
He really, you could tell that was not a like fake Taylor Swift. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Like it was. Wait, what?
Say what?
Y'all read that say, right?
Is this one of those things like the Oscars where they read the wrong name? Did you read the wrong name?
Did you grab the wrong envelope?
Oh, man.
Because that's me.
So, anyway, yeah.
Yeah. And again, I'm super happy for Chris. You know, I'm not sad that Morgan didn't win. I'm super, super stoked for Chris. And I'm super stoked for all the winners and all the nominees.
That makes me think, we're just talking about us being there. We won the CMA at the best possible time. That we were there sitting in the third row to watch that Chris Stapleton, Justin Timberlake. That's the best 8.5 minutes of live music I've ever seen in my life.
Me too.
That was amazing.
Just unbelievable.
That.
And it was on, so they do like the halves, like the half of the stage is one act, and then they close that so they can work on it while the other half, you know, somebody keeps performing. So we were right there. It was right in front of our side. Mm-hmm. I was just, oh, so fantastic.
I just remember Charles being Kelly being so out of his brain excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
He's such – and we did an event with him a couple of weeks ago downtown, and he was bringing on Gary LaVox from Rascal Flatts. And he was so – he was such a fan. He was a fan of Gary. He was just supporting him, and you see him doing that. I saw him do it that night years ago at CMAs. He was just being supportive of – Stapleton and
yeah, at the time, Justin. Chris Stapleton before that night was just a guy that everyone in the music industry knew who he was, but yeah,
he sang in the background.
Yeah, the average fan was like, now who's that guy again?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he's the guy who was in the background for Drink a Beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't he write a bunch of those songs? That's cool.
Some dude I went to college with posted on Facebook this morning after reading about last night's awards. Didn't even watch him, right?
Okay.
This, what they're calling country. And I'm not normally this guy. I try not to get into social wars. But I reply back, I'm like, so Chris Stapleton got Entertainer of the Year. Sorry, what's not country about him?
Chris Stapleton.
Crickets. I keep checking my phone waiting for this guy to reply.
Yeah, he can't reply anymore because is this a country music professional?
No, it's a guy that was in radio 20 years ago and he'll post things about, you know, really thinking about getting back into radio.
Well, I just didn't know if maybe it might be somebody who's just trying to start something because there's a lot of people.
No, it's just a dude looking for attention. Well, and I gave it to him. It's my bad.
Well, that's what I was going to say. There's people looking for attention just to get that dopamine hit of an online argument.
Now, I will say Hardy's thing that he did was
he put the hard and Hardy, baby.
There were a couple of performances that I'm never the guy that goes, this isn't country music. But there were a couple of times last night where I was like, okay, listen, I like this, but this is not country music.
Ed Sheeran?
No, it's not.
Well, Ed Sheeran wasn't supposed to be country. But like,
I didn't mind.
I didn't mind that at all.
But okay, so having him on there served what purpose? And I'm not dissing on Ed Sheeran. I thought the actual performance with him and Luke Combs was great. But I'm just wondering, is he going to service that song? Are they going to treat it like a single?
The version with him and Luke Combs.
As a single?
Not on country radio, but like it's going to be on pop radio. And
well, why would they not send it to country radio? It was a good song.
They played it on our award.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, why would they not?
I think a lot of it comes back to just the relationship the two of them have.
Right.
Agreed.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought just seeing it was like.
I think a lot of people don't realize. I remember we talked to Chris about that. Stapleton about when they did that thing at the CMA Awards with Justin Timberlake. He's the one who texted Justin like
he said
2 weeks before.
The CMAs calls up that he's nominated for Best New Artist. If you're nominated for Best New Artist, at least back then, I think it's still kind of similar. They give you a verse chorus. They give you about 90 seconds on the show because they want to have all those guys get a chance to perform. I remember Maddie and Tay performed that night because they announced the radio winners right after the thing. But they just do the first verse and then the chorus of their song, and then that's it. Well, Chris Stapleton, they called him up and they said, well, you get 90 seconds on the show. Let us know what song you want to do, what your arrangement is, et cetera. So he called Justin and asked if he would perform with him. And he called the CMAs back and said, if I can get Justin Timberlake to perform with me. Could I get a little more time? They went, we'll give you 8.5 minutes, which is an entire that's like a whole segment of the show
that
dedicated
was brilliant
to
for Chris genius. Because it made his career. Mm-hmm. That was the defining moment.
It was so awesome. It really was. But
it's on YouTube.
I think
it is on YouTube, actually. You can find that. It's there. So
but yeah, it was a great night. A lot of people are like, I missed it. I didn't even know where. And I mean, it wasn't on regular TV. It was on a streaming service. And I don't know. We'll have to see how this works out because it's not, people think live event, like a game or awards, you think it's on TV, not Amazon Prime. So I don't know. I'll have to see how this over the next few years, if they keep doing it.
They don't have to announce any kind of ratings at all. They don't have
but if they used to get, say, 8 million people watching it, and now we don't know what it is, but say it's only 3. That's not – yes, they're still getting paid by Amazon, blah, 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 but it's not really – it doesn't accomplish the same thing. It doesn't have the same impact.
Right.
That great performance that Justin Timberlake and Chris Stapleton that literally blew his whole career up and changed his life, if less people see it, it's not as impactful. So, I mean, Lainey Wilson and Jelly Roll last night it was amazing. And actually, a friend of mine who was at the awards texted and said, we're so lucky to have Lainey Wilson. Like, she's such a blessing to country music, and it's so great that she's becoming a star. And I said, yeah, and also Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
Like, think about how great it is that guy is in our format. Because he could have done, and he has done, everything. But he is like, nope, I'm going to be country music. This is what I want to do. And he's fantastic. And it was – I thought he got a new tattoo. Because it said Music Man on his forehead. I'd never noticed that before because then I went and looked at pictures, and it's usually that his hair is kind of covering it, and he had it kind of pulled back. So he had this very prominent tattoo across his forehead that I'd never noticed before in all the times I've been around him.
I remember the first time he came in, I walked outside the studio. He and I are standing there, just the two of us, outside the parking lot. And I started looking at his face, and I go, what is what's that one? What's that for? It's like a, what is it? Oh yeah, no, that's like our logo, kind of creed, you know. Well, yeah, okay. What about that one? What is it? What is it? Oh yeah, I got this one. And he's just started going down this lineage of his face tattoos. I'm like, does that hurt? Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah, it hurts. It's your face. Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is though, if you have one, you might as well have 100.
I mean, as soon
as you put one, because if you put just one, everyone's going to go, hey, you got something on your
That's true. Face.
But if you have just a face full of them, everyone goes, oh, he's a face tattoo.
Well, Evangeline, what did I tell you last night about getting tattoos on your face? Don't do it. That's right. Don't get tattoos on your face.
And I would say don't put them anywhere on your arms. Don't get a tattoo. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm not anti-tat at all. I'll vote for but you. Yeah, you gotta think about the children.
Well, you gotta think about you're gonna get hired by someone. You go what?
Depends yeah, that's why you don't do the. Face
I dated things. A guy who wouldn't get tattoos anything below like right just above his elbow. And the idea was he could even wear short sleeves to work and nobody knew that
nobody
he had them.
Nobody would know.
Yep.
I mean, it's not such a thing anymore. I mean, people have it.
It's very accepted now.
But yeah, but back for a while there, it was like if you got a tattoo, you were also in a gang.
Yes.
Thanks, if you had a
Grandpa.
Face tattoo,
exactly
you'd been
how
in prison.
Yeah.
Yes. The Rebel Rousers.
That was like a motorcycle gang. 6 years old, we did summer camp in the park. And I remember there was this old guy, he had tattoos on his arm. They were all faded, like he was in the Navy, and he had all these Navy tattoos. And I remember him saying, listen, kid, whatever you do, don't get any tattoos. And I thought, that's good advice. And I'm
a
stuck
park
with that.
Guy.
I wish he would have said to you, listen, kid, don't eat cupcakes.
Don't get fat. Whenever someone says, do you have advice for XYZ for these kids, I always say the exact same thing, and people get mad at me, but I always say, don't get fat. Mm-hmm. I think that's good advice.
I think it's great advice.
Don't get fat. Take it from someone who knows.
And by the way, there's so much of a push right now for body acceptance. Let me tell you something. As a guy who has been both skinny and fat, you want to be skinny. Mm-hmm. You do. And don't tell me any of these body acceptance people don't want to be skinny too. The problem is it's really hard to get skinny once your body gets used to being fat.
Yep.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to put, I say nobody, a lot of people don't want to put in the work. So instead of putting in the work to make themselves better and healthier, I need to do it too. I'm not calling anybody
out.
We're
all saying it like we're not sitting here.
I'm just as guilty. But what I'm saying is it's so much work that it's daunting, and it's much easier to go, oh, no, this is dad bod. Accept me.
It's also your body. That's the thing. People also think it's that black and white. I remember like six radio stations ago, I was talking on the air one morning about that I would love to lose weight, and I've tried this and I've tried that. And some woman tweeted, and she's like, yeah, if you wanted to be thin, you would be. So this is a you problem.
It's
and
not,
I'm like,
it's not that
ma'am,
easy.
Do you know how much weight I have lost over the years? Probably four of you.
Yeah.
Right? But again, the gaining in your body, you know, metabolisms, what we've done to our bodies growing up, or if this started when you were older, like
our food.
Yeah.
Our genetics.
Food,
all kinds of things play into
so, yeah.
These little cupcakes.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a weird, I know they're trying to now like regulate fat acceptance or something. And I'm like,
no.
That's a
regulate.
I'm totally against that.
Yeah.
I, you know, and I say this as a big fat guy. I don't want this to be, I don't want this to become pushed. Like this is a good thing. It's, I agree. You shouldn't shame fat people. You shouldn't, no one should be mean to anybody, but we also shouldn't glorify people who are 200 pounds overweight and say, yeah, that's healthy too. It's not, it's just not. Period. There's no version of you that wouldn't be healthier
every
if you
time
didn't
that,
weigh 50 pounds less.
Every time that Gatorade that commercial comes on and they're doing yoga, my dad gets so mad. I don't want to see this on my TV because he's so old school.
And then you get the old man and that's how it comes down.
No, my mom, who spent her entire life obsessed with her weight and then obsessed with mine, and she'll watch Jeopardy and there's an overweight contestant and there's comments. And I'm like, what? Why? Why are you offended by this person's existence? But I know because it's been ingrained in her for decades.
I don't have a problem with a fat person being on Jeopardy, but I do not like seeing a fat person on the weight loss thing saying, and this, you know, are on the cover of Fit magazine and they have somebody as big as me. And I go, No.
What's the guy?
Lie to yourself all you want, but.
Who used to be Cousin Randy? Not Cousin Randy, but yeah, it was Randy.
Randy
on My Name is Earl.
No.
Yeah.
If you hadn't asked me, I could have told you.
Dude, yeah, that
Randy.
Yeah, I can see him.
My name is Earl. That dude,
Ethan
was huge.
Supley?
Yes,
Supley.
He was huge. Huge.
Yeah, he got up to like almost 500 pounds.
And he just one day he had a little. I remember watching some podcast with him or whatever, and he was talking about it. He was like, "Man, it hit me. I had to fix me." And
but also, it took him the better part of 10 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that everybody thinks it's going to be 6 months. And him, it took him almost a decade. And he's famous.
Yeah.
And has some money. And it took him that long.
And trainers and all
that
kind of stuff. Yeah.
So the rest of us, I mean, pass the cupcakes.
They're right here.
I know.
Here you go.
People shouldn't be fat. Here, give me a cupcake.
Give me cupcakes.
No, I just don't want them pushing that stuff on kids, man. Like, it's a fine line. Like, I don't want you to shame kids because they're overweight. I was a fat kid. It was awful. I got picked on, and I got pressured to not be fat, and it was tough. But at the same time, you don't want to go to these kids and go, it's okay, just be yourself. No, just be yourself is the worst advice we give people in this world. If you want to be yourself, you'd sit at home and do nothing all day. You'd accomplish nothing. Like, that's not good. You got to try to be a better version of yourself, whatever that is. This is my TED Talk.
Okay.
I feel like we got all of Lainey's acceptance speeches put right into that.
Yeah.
Lainey's acceptance speech. What was the quote, the takeaway at the very end? If you're going to be a dreamer, be a doer.
But then she also said something about, like, everybody else is already taken, so be yourself or something. That's why it just feels like we just discussed everything that she summed up in his acceptance speech.
Thank you, Lainey. Lainey Wilson.
It's on YouTube.
This week, you guys were so excited about Emilio Estevez being on the show. Of course, a big movie star. I didn't know half the movies that you guys were quoting.
Dude, but you knew Mighty Ducks, though, right?
I knew Mighty Ducks.
Okay.
He was Breakfast Club.
Yeah, Breakfast Club, Mighty Ducks. What was the other one you
liked? Santa
Most
Fire.
Minute Work.
Minute Work, Repo Man.
Young Guns
1 and 2.
Dude, his Billy the Kid may be the only Billy the Kid that ever matters in history.
Did you see what his Twitter handle is?
No, what?
It's like William H. Bonney.
Oh.
No.
Yes. Because I might have tagged him in something.
What?
I was like, hey, Emilio, remember that time we talked to you?
Did you do that? Did you tag him?
Yes, I tagged him on Instagram.
I forget. You leave and I forget your name. Patrick. did you see Carson's reel?
AKA William H. Bonney. On Instagram.
For the ACMs last night? Yeah. How many different dresses did you try?
Four.
I'm not sure. Oh, it's so great.
Also, I didn't know it. Today is his birthday.
Oh, well, look at
Happy
that.
Happy birthday, Emilio Estevez. We have the interview from the show that we're going to put on right after the closing jingle. If you're listening to it, if you're not listening and you're watching on YouTube, it will be a separate video, and you can just search around on our channel. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss stuff like this, all the live stuff as well. Just Big D and Bubba, Big D and Bubba, and you'll be able to find us. And you'll find it.
It's on YouTube.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. That's okay, because you can listen to the regular show.
Where?
On the radio.
Oh, okay.
Every day. It was the podcast.
That's right.
Emilio Estevez is joining us. Oh, my gosh. It's so insane here, Emilio. We've got Carson, who is like... didn't sleep last night, honestly. So congratulations for that. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Hey. Sorry about that. Sorry to create sleepless nights for you, man.
You're worth it.
I didn't sleep much either, just because I just recently introduced my son to Young Guns 1. He hasn't seen 2 yet.
Sure.
And he's like, Dad, this is the dopest show. I'm like, I know. And I said, just wait till you see number 2 and Brushy Bill and the whole thing. And he's like, when? So we have that planned very soon. So, yeah, we're very excited to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, but you know what's going on with that, with Brushy Bill and all now.
No.
So there's some new evidence coming out. There's a new photo that's going to be released in the next month. They found a photo in Canada of Billy the Kid. It has been authenticated by a New York City facial recognition specialist, detective. And he didn't know who he was looking at. He was looking at all these different photos, and he said, this is the same guy. And so there is a whole other chapter, and maybe 2 or 3 of them, with the Brushy Bill character, and we're digging into that in a very serious way now, thanks to this new information. I mean, we were always going to, you know, entertain the idea of rebooting the franchise, but I tell you what, there's never been a bigger appetite for nostalgia. Let's start with that. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this is a story that I think people are fascinated by. And, you know, I believe that there's an audience for Westerns out there. So, you know,
Emilio, if you ask me, Pat Garrett let him go. There was, I mean, the friendship, the mutual respect. I totally
Hashtag pals.
Yes, pals. I mean, there's so much there. Yeah. So, and I've always believed that. And, you know, that's why I loved Young Guns 2 with the Brushy Bill story. And now if you're telling me that there's even more evidence, because there's been a lot going the other way over the last couple decades.
That's right.
But if you're saying now that there's new stuff that has come to light, man, then this changes everything.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well, even when we shot it in 89 or 90, there were very limited photos of Brushy Bill Roberts. And when you look at the makeup that I had on, it was overdone. I looked much older than Brushy Bill did. He died in HEICO in 1950. He was going to the post office to deliver some mail for his wife. And he dropped dead of a heart attack outside on the street. But I've been to HEICO, spent time out there doing research, and yeah, man, this story is really fascinating, and I think it's something that people are really going to be interested in checking out.
Okay, so is this a confirmation that there will eventually be a Young Guns 3?
Well, you know, again, it's I won't be paying for it, so right now it's about figuring out what studio is going to get involved and you know, ultimately who the distributor is going to be and just digging into all of the business of the business.
Yeah.
I'm just in the creative side of things. I'm not in necessarily the business side of it.
We'll make calls for you. Do this. Yeah. We need
this. I
follow
John Fusco on Twitter, so I can tweet at him in your support because I know you guys have been talking about it.
There you go.
Hey, we are so excited. Emilio's joining us on the hotline, Estevez, and this release of the Way. This is Martin Sheen, and this is a Phantom Event. It's a re-release of the movie The Way. And this is all happening, on the 16th, right?
This is happening on May 16th. It's a Tuesday night, and it's a one-night-only event theatrically. The next day, you'll be able to see it in a home theater experience by going to thewaythemovie.com and going on to our website and being able to have the same theater experience only in your home. But if you want to see it with a group of people and you want to sit in the theater and enjoy the movie on Tuesday night, it's a very special night. I think people are really longing to be back in movie theaters, be back in church, be back with their friends and family. And coming out of this pandemic, I just think it's really important to commune again, to be in community. I think we don't live in isolation, and I think that is... You know, I think we're seeing a lot of the problems in this country sort of born out of the isolation that was inflicted on all of us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that whole lockdown broke us, I think, in many ways. And, you know, this is just another opportunity to unbreak things and to go see a movie that, and Carson was saying this was never actually in theaters the first time, correct?
Well, no, we were, but very limited.
Oh, okay.
So we took we did a cross-country bus tour, like Rock and Rollers. In fact, we borrowed U2's bus, the band
nice.
U2. We borrowed their bus. We shrink wrapped it with the poster of the film. I loaded my dad and my son and our producers on the bus, and we hit 35 cities over 50 days. We ate and slept on the bus, and we took the movie to the people because we believe that's where the movie was really living the best. We knew that we were going to connect. And we did two screenings a night. We did a secular and a non-secular. We did Q&As after each screening. We were exhausted by the time we finished. And then the movie comes out in a couple hundred screens, and it does okay. But we believe that because of that tour, because people saw how genuine we were and how much we loved the movie and how much they loved it, we engendered a ton of goodwill. And that goodwill has been passed down over the years and has really reflected in how people... You know, again, this movie is big in the faith-based community, so, you know, the folks will buy 40, 50 copies, give them out as friends, and I'm talking the DVD. And Hollywood will tell you that the DVD market is dead. In fact, that's not true in the faith-based community. They are still buying DVDs like hotcakes.
Yeah, go ahead.
They give it to their loved ones, and they say, this is the way.
We're getting the movie. We're getting the movie back out there, and we've got an additional addendum to it at the end of the movie. If you know travel icon Rick Steves, you know our sort of go-to guy. If you're going to Europe, he's the guy. You want to buy his guidebooks. You want to follow his advice. He joins us at the end of the movie, and we have a conversation. Martin and I, and I'm kind of the moderator of this conversation. We talk about faith. We talk about family. We talk about the road as church. We talk about pilgrimage being an important part of faith and why it's important to find community and travel on pilgrimage and why it's important to our existence and that we've been going on pilgrimage since the beginning of time. And so that conversation is something that audiences have never seen before, and they're going to get a chance to experience that on Tuesday night, the 16th, in the theater.
All right, the movie is called The Way, Emilio Estevez. Dude, thank you for coming on the show. I'm excited to see it because I have never seen the movie, and then Carson was telling me about it, and then I'm like, well, this is right up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I cannot let you go without telling you that every time I play Trivial Pursuit, I ask, what does a phrenologist feel and interpret?
I don't even get that.
It's for Men at Work, and it is one of my favorite movies of all time.
On the air, though.
No, I can't give you the answer on the air.
Emilio,
say that to Emilio Estevez, I would die unfulfilled.
Run away, Emilio, as fast as you can.
By the way, we would laugh so hard just getting to trying to get through that scene because of the answer to that question.
Yes.
Emilio, I'm so sorry. hey, make sure you support him the way and everything else that he's doing. Emilio Estevez, the one and only.
And bring on Young Guns 3!
And bring on Young Guns 3. Someone pay for this. We love you.
Your lips to God's ears. Let's do it.
Emilio, thanks, man. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys.
See you. Bye.